WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming
ABC
on
News.
The Civic Media
I'm Chuck
app.
Sievertson. The head of the Wagner mercenary group, which is fighting for Russia in Ukraine, may be calling for an armed rebellion against the Kremlin. That's Yevgeny Prigozhin, who accuses the Russian military of shelling his forces' base camps in Ukraine. Two Chinese are under arrest, accused of making and secretly sending to Mexico chemicals to produce fentanyl for shipment to the U.S.
The actions we are announcing today should make clear that the U.S. Justice Department is accelerating our efforts to disrupt the manufacture and trafficking of fentanyl at every stage and in every part of the world.
Attorney General Merrick Garland, President Biden, the First Lady, Vice President Harris, and her husband took part in a political rally today with reproductive rights groups. Tomorrow marks a year since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Stretch of I-95 in Philadelphia back open less than 2 weeks after a fire caused part of a bridge to collapse. This is ABC News. Federal regulators are offering opinions as a growing number of scientists call for more research into how psychedelic drugs can treat a range of issues.
The director of the Division of Psychiatry in the FDA's Drug Evaluation and Research Center says psychedelic drugs show initial promise for treatment of mood, anxiety, and substance use disorders, but that their unique characteristics should be considered when designing a clinical study. But this statement in itself is a first. The FDA, for the first time, is issuing draft guidance on clinical trials involving psychedelic drugs. This guidance, now open for public comment, includes several factors to consider, including the potential for abuse of these drugs.
Our Brian Clark. NASA today announced the X-57, experimental 14-motor electric airplane, will not fly. The agency said part of the problem was the motors used in the plane's wings. NASA says the prototype did provide important lessons in battery and engine design. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. A man was arrested for threatening people with a pickaxe in Oshkosh. Oshkosh police say they were called to the 100 block of Washington Avenue around 10:15 Thursday morning because a man was yelling that he wanted to kill someone while holding a weapon. As he approached onlookers, the police were able to get between him and the crowd. At first, the man ignored authorities' attempts to de-escalate, refusing to drop the axe. He eventually complied and was taken to a crisis center for evaluation, then transported to the Winnebago County Jail. Door County Police are looking for a wanted man and are asking for the public's help. According to the FBI, 31-year-old Devon Keller posted a suspicious video to social media just before 4:45 Thursday morning. The FBI alerted Door County authorities to the video in which Keller appears, but the content of the post has not been released to the public. Keller has outstanding warrants from the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. Police are asking anyone with information about him to contact the Door County Sheriff's Department. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Hey, this is Petty Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for organized crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Some big news coming out of Philadelphia. Yes, the bridge is open and you can watch it live. You can watch traffic go over the bridge. And they did it in just 12 days. As you know, back on June 11th, a gas truck flipped over underneath the overpass and lit it up on fire, melted the bridge. Terrible. I mean, everybody I know in Philly freaking out over the fact that you're not going to get up and down I-95. The truck traffic, incredible. In just 12 days, Governor Shapiro got everybody together. The president, resources came in. People worked around the clock to get it open. It is now temporarily open. You know, three lanes in each direction. They will now begin the rebuilding of the entire overpass. But this is when you put your mind to something. When you take off the red hat and the blue hat and you put on that hard hat, we can rebuild stuff. So I thought, you know, I wanted to share the fact that it got done, and good on them. Shows that we can get things done when we need to, when we put aside our insanity, which leads us to today. Yes, the insanity. Good on Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. Good on the president. Good on everyone involved, all the union workers who worked around the clock, all of my Teamster brothers and sisters who were driving up and down the roads getting stuff, what needed to be where and how, and the operating engineers and all the construction workers who got this done. Great job in reopening this. And like I said, this is what we should be focusing on. But sadly, today was a big day in the political world. Yeah, I'm trying not to slam the religious community, because I know a lot of very religious people who are good, decent, honest people who care about their community, care about their neighbors, are decent hearted. I mean, religion is one of those things that I want to believe brings out the best in us, brings us together, uplifts us, you know, does positive things, moves us in positive direction, makes us want to be better people. At least that's what I grew up believing. But I see things like this faith and freedom conference by the Ralph Reed of the world. And again, Ralph Reed, another one of those Christian coalition characters where it's all about the money and the graft and the politic and the power. It's not about getting anything positive done. Now, over the next couple of days, they're having their little powwow in D.C. where all of the presidential hopefuls are going to come in and say how religious they are. They're going to wear their religiosity on their sleeves and tell how incredibly they love Jesus and hate liberals. Basically, that's what this is. Well, love me some Jesus, hate those libtards. And that's what happened. Today, for the most part, you had these folks come in, talk about how they were going to, force people to have children. We're going to hear a lot of that over the weekend because of the anniversary of the Dobbs decision, the 1 year anniversary. And look, I went through the conference's itinerary. And, I want to believe that people want to do the right thing. I want to believe that people are decent. I want to believe. But I look at the itinerary. And, it's all about political power. It's all about how they're going to use their faith to enact their narrow beliefs on the rest of us, and not in positive ways. I mean, I don't know. I simply don't know how you can go, I love Jesus, but hate immigrants. And we got to solve the border crisis. I don't know how that is. I don't know how you go, I love me some Jesus, but I hate public education, and let's figure out how we destroy that. I'm still struggling with this. I'm hoping some religious folk will chime in and help out. But the political powwow today, you had, Chris Christie show up, who was booed, by the way, because oddly enough, this religious crowd is a Trump crowd overwhelmingly. In fact, what was his name? Robinson. He gave a speech, rousing speech, on basically endorsing Trump. And you go, I didn't know that you were doing that just yet, because why would Mike Pence come in and talk about how we need to make abortion restrictions much tougher? Why would Vivek Ramaswamy come in and share his thoughts on the woke, on how we have to take down the woke? I mean, Lindsey Graham came prancing in. So I found it interesting. Christie was the only one who was booed. Nobody brought up Trump, oddly enough, outside of Chris Christie. And are you surprised he was booed? No. And his comment back was, boo all you want. You know I'm right. So fun. Now, here's the thing. Out of all of this, and this is my point of bringing this up, and my frustration. Because, again, I grew up believing that religion was about helping your neighbor. That the whole Sermon on the Mount thing, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, visit the infirmed and the imprisoned. That stuff, that hippie liberal kind of Catholic, 1970s era Catholic teaching stuff. Walk picket lines with workers, that kind of stuff. Now it's all about punishment. It's all about fire and brimstone and control. And the abortion issue is right front and center. They are celebrating their victory. And a victory that is not popular throughout the country. In fact, the latest poll shows 61% of the country thinks, overturning the Roe decision was a bad idea. Nearly 80% of females, 18 to 49, two-thirds of suburban women, not thrilled. So women folk not happy. And I'm hoping that equates to electoral victories, that they take this anger and they go out and they punish these folks who are clearly not interested in actual children. They're interested in control. Because the one thing you're not going to hear in this conference, because I looked at the itinerary, I scoured it for any breakout session on, hey, how do we move legislation to help those children once we force women to have them? How do we ensure that those poor kids, because again, we're talking about poor kids. How do we ensure that those poor kids get good education, get health care, get opportunities? How do we make sure that they don't grow up in squalor and have, horrible childhoods that we end up paying for when they're adults? There's going to be none of that, because that solution is much bigger than what they have, which is just, we want power. We want control. Now, politically, this is an issue. And they're organizing around the fact that they got what they wanted. They won. The dog caught the car. It is now illegal in a lot of places. And understand, state after state is going to continue to make these more restrictive barriers for women to get the access to reproductive care that they need. And look, I've said before, I am not in favor of abortion personally. I come down on the side of safety. I'm a pro-safety person. If it were my call, if I had the magic wand or I could flip the switch, we would have programs that encourage people to want to have children, to want to bring them in the world, give them the opportunity to have good jobs, to ensure that they can afford the costs of raising kids. None of that's going to be discussed by Ralph Reed and his hyper-religious crowd. None of that. But it's where we should be talking about. It's where somebody should be talking about. And anytime Democrats bring this up, it's all socialism. You know, making sure that we feed, making sure that, you know, and this is what the Biden administration has already said. By 2030, they want to end childhood hunger in this country, which, you know, I got to tell you, is a great goal. LBJ had the same kind of goal. I remember those programs growing up as a kid in the 70s. They helped. I also remember Ronald Reagan, Mr. Ketchup is a Vegetable, saying we got to get rid of all that. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And the reality is, you know, it's hard to pull yourself up by your bootstraps when you don't have any boots. So you've got, you know, the Pences of the world. You've got our religious folk who are big Trump supporters. And oddly enough, Trump's not actually speaking. I guess he's going to their big gala to help them raise money, which kind of tells you a lot of what you need to know, that it really is about the cash. Religion Incorporated rakes it in, man. Rakes it in. $150 I had to get into this conference. Now, you know, the positive thing today, the president did sign an executive order expanding access to contraception. Because look, if you're against abortion, like I am, education, contraception, that's the way we should be pursuing. But again, safe and legal. But how about prevention? Not going to hear that either in the faith and freedom powwow, because again, it's not about what it's about. It's about control. So I want to hear your thoughts. Was it a good idea when the dog caught the car and overturned Roe? Was it a good idea? Do you think it's a direction we should be moving? And how do we, if you're not in favor of it, how do we undo the damage done by our conservative brethren? Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com, or give us a call, 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Well, Let's quick go to the phones. I've got Alice on line two. I'm sure Alice has got some thoughts on the faith and freedom powwow and, well, our religious folk and wearing it on their sleeve. Alice, what's on your mind?
I've got a couple of things to say. First off, religion is a bunch of institutions with rules made and enforced by humans. Compare that to spirituality, which is how the individual interacts in a positive manner with the environment and with other humans and animals and everything around them. So there's a difference between spirituality and religion. The second thing is, they're against contraception because the wackadoodles claim that it kills an egg, which is a human. So, you know, they don't want the contraception either. And they certainly don't want anyone to have any knowledge of sex, how, you know, sex and pregnancy occurs, because they believe that, you know, everybody should be a virgin, and on your wedding night, you discover it together. And last, I want to say this. As for why they want everyone to have children, and believe me, I have talked to these right-wing people, they think that, you know, just like in the Bible with Sarah and Abraham and her handmaid, that you're supposed to have children for those who are unable to conceive. So to them, you have a baby even though you don't want it, then you put it up for adoption. And if it doesn't get adopted, well, then that's why they have foster care, so people can come in and make money taking in foster children. Now, I mean, these are absolute facts, and I've talked to people that are right-wing evangelicals, and it's just ridiculous.
It's all about, you know, listen to Tom DeLay. He said, if we didn't have abortion, we'd have 40 million more cheap laborers. A big part of it has to come down to cheap labor as well.
Well, yes, and you know, it's control and increasing the population, and when you increase the population, then you have more workers and blah, 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 you know, and so on and so forth. But the thing that they forget is, and one of the first things that Germany did under Hitler was, if you remember, they had the baby farms where they picked out, you know, the blonde, Aryan-looking people, had them come in, have a couple of weekend flings, and then they would have a baby and put it up for adoption. So, you know, we're just going down that right-wing fastest path.
There you go.
Have a good evening.
Appreciate the thoughts, Alice. Let the fun begin. And look, the thing is, they're heavily, heavily funded. I mean, really. I mean, I was looking at some of the sponsors. Wow, the money that's rolling in from these things. It really, that at the end of it, that's what it's really about. Anyway, got an email from Jeff. Jeff said, I heard your rant on Justice Alito taking a fishing trip, and I just don't get why it matters that Supreme Court justices are taking trips paid for by billionaires. Do you really think a trip affects the impartiality and fairness of decisions? Do you really think that they're out to get workers like you and me? Yeah. Yeah, Jeff. Yes. Yes. If you heard the rant, yes. A million times, yes. Yes. Can I say yes again? Yes. Absolutely, without question. But as I said, Jeff, if you listen to the rant, I don't think there was a quid pro quo here. I don't think there's a receipt of the billionaire going one fishing trip for one decision. That doesn't exist, because they've created this incestuous pool of think tanks and foundations and institutes and universities and all kinds of places to put people like Alito, as they're grooming them to be, you know, Superior Court justices or appeals justices or Supreme Court justices. They are packing our courts with crazy, with people that they have vetted and groomed to put into power to make the right choices. and the right choices don't benefit you or me, Jeff. That's the reality. Point to a Supreme Court case in the last 20 years that has benefited working people. I ask the same question of my Republican friends. Find me a piece of legislation that a Republican has put forth, passed through the House of Representatives, passed through the Senate, and gotten signed that benefits solely working people. Nothing. There is nothing. Now, I point to today's Supreme Court decision. 5-4. Oddly enough, Thomas on the right side of the issue, which bizarre to me on a certain level. But this is another one of those things where you go, individuals get screwed over for the corporate good. And it was this case on this crypto exchange, this Coinbase Global Incorporated. Evidently, I guess how the story goes is there were some disputes that were, you know, how the money was being changed. There was, you know, not how people were getting screwed over. There was, I guess, scammers stole the money from someone's account, so they were going to sue, and they were going to sue a class action lawsuit, which meant, you know, going to court. Well, no, you can't have that. This company said no, we arbitration, because corporate America wants to arbitrate. They don't want things in front of a jury. And again, you have the right to a jury trial for everything over $20. That's in that little book that my conservative friends love to tell me they carry in their breast pocket but never read. And the court, in a 5-4 decision, with Thomas joining the three Democratic appointees or nominees, said, no, you've got to arbitrate. Sorry, arbitration rules. You're right to the court. And they've done the same thing to working people. And I went through this as well. In order for you to get a job, you probably signed a forced arbitration clause, which means if you're discriminated against, if you're fired, if you're treated poorly, if you're anything, you're harmed in any way, you got to go to an arbitrator. You don't get to go to court. It's as if, Jeff, our Supreme Court is in the hands of the few against the rest of us. And the power swing has gone to the moneyed interest. For instance, Citizens United, another perfect example. And I get people who throw it back up to me, well, you know, labor unions, they wanted it too. And they were wrong. Money is not speech. And labor unions are outspent, you know, 20-1 by corporate America. Just because, you know, a couple of labor unions spend a little bit of money to try and get the voice of working people heard doesn't mean that's equal. Our billionaire class has flooded the zone and they get what they want. Now you look at the voting situation ever since the Shelby County versus Holder case. That our Supreme Court just said, you know what, that whole Voting Rights Act, 65, that whole pre-clearance, that all that stuff, we're better than that. That's old. What we now find out is since from that day forward, there have been 94 restrictive laws, voting laws passed in states across the country, in at least 29 states. Many of them were pre-clearance states. And what do those 94 restrictive laws do? You know, like voter ID laws, like signature laws, like, you know, all of the things down the line. What do? They make it harder for average, everyday working people to vote. And that's the point. I mean, you look at a state like Arizona. Arizona has passed the most restrictive laws in the country. They've passed eight different restrictions. How hard is it to go and say, you know what? Here's my information. I register to vote. I get to vote. How hard is that? Oh, well, you know, can't have that. We need to do more. And the thing is they sell it to us as, well, you know, everyone's got a driver's license. You know, everyone, you know, can get to the, you know, the elections office, you know, three, you know, 30 miles away on a Tuesday at 4 o'clock. All of us can do that. And the reality is all of us can't. And they know what they're doing. This is why they pay all of those think tanks. This is why they do all of that focus group testing, think tank approving of policy. And they pay really, really smart people to sit in rooms and think up really bad ideas. And how power can be taken. And I look at this weekend's faith and freedom powwow. You don't think the big money and the think tanks and the really smart people who dream up bad ideas aren't behind all of that? We got a lot of work to do, folks. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at therickSmithShow.com. Let's take a quick break. Right back after this.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1947. That was the day the despised Taft-Hartley Act became law. It was a direct retaliatory response to the 1946 post-war strike wave where millions walked off the job after waiting years for basic demands. The labor movement mobilized against the slave labor bill through numerous rallies. The AFL joined the CIO in threatening 24-hour strikes across whole industries in protest as the bill wound its way through Congress. 11,000 soft coal miners in Pennsylvania walked out in a spontaneous protest strike earlier in the month. The bill passed over the veto of President Harry S. Truman, who would invoke it a dozen times over the course of his presidency. Many union leaders hailed Truman as a friend of labor for his 11th hour veto. Labor Party advocates were incensed that of the 219 congressional Democrats, 126 voted in favor of the bill. Practically overnight, the labor movement had been pushed back 25 years. Taft-Hartley was nothing short of disastrous for the American labor movement. With the stroke of a pen, the act criminalized many of the actions key to historic union victories in the 30s and 40s. Jurisdictional strikes, secondary boycotts, solidarity strikes, closed shops, and mass picketing were just a few of the most basic trade union activities now outlawed. The act helped fire the first shots of the McCarthy Red Scare by mandating that union officers file non-communist affidavits with the government, which was later found to be unconstitutional. The act also provided the ammunition needed to strangle strikes by empowering the president to easily acquire strike-breaking injunctions. And it allowed for the rapid growth of right-to-work laws at the state level. And because of Taft-Hartley, the union movement has suffered ever since.
The six-person majority of far-right supremes, who presently dominate America's judicial system, seems intent on demonstrating that having a seat on our Supreme Court does not mean there is anything supreme about them. Consider one bottom-line measure of character that is central to the court's integrity: financial ethics. This simply requires the judges to file annual reports to reveal any sources of outside income and gifts, thus providing some minimal assurance to regular folks that the eminences are not taking personal payments from moneyed interests seeking favorable court rulings. But unlike all other top government officials, Supreme Court justices have a loosey-goosey system for reporting financial conflicts of interest. It's called Trust Us. Thus, for years, Clarence Thomas has been taking millions of dollars worth of gimmies from a right-wing corporate billionaire while voting to impose this benefactor's plutocratic agenda as the law of the land. Yet, in two decades of financial reports to the people, there is not a whisper from his supremeness that he has regularly pocketed a wealth of gratuities from this special friend. Or take John Roberts, the Chief Justice, who poses as a paragon of judicial independence while aggressively pressing an agenda of corporate supremacy over the common good. While he's not known to take payments from corporate interests, his wife does. She's been paid millions of dollars in commissions to recruit lawyers for firms that have business before Justice Roberts. Yet, until this special interest enrichment of his family was recently uncovered, Roberts never mentioned it in his annual reports. Meanwhile, every federal official must agree to abide by a code of ethical behavior, with the exception of 9 officials who have exempted themselves, saying, "Trust us." Yes, the Supremes. This is Jim Hightower saying, since the court refuses to fix itself, the people must. To help, go to fixthecourt.com.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So here's kind of a shock. You know, we've been talking about this RFK Jr. stuff and the push to get a debate on vaccines with Professor Hotez. And look, I've said from the beginning, no way, no shape, no how. RFK Jr. is a crackpot. I don't know anybody on the Democratic side who's smart enough or sane enough or should vote for this guy, but he's got some, because it's the Kennedy name. Well, it turns out, evidently, supporters of his have created this super PAC, Heal the Divide. And guess what? A big part of it's tied to people like Marjorie Three Names and the radical right. And are we surprised? No, not even a little bit. But anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, the crackpot and also some big news around Jack Smith and the Trump stuff. I've asked our good friend Rich Ojeda to come share some thoughts. Rich is the founder of the Turn Left PAC, turnleftpac.org website. Also host of Ojeda Live nightly on Facebook and YouTube. Rich, thanks for taking time for us.
Always a pleasure, my brother. Always a pleasure.
So let's start with the RFK thing. Surprised that They're all in the same, the Roger Stones, the Marjorie Traitor Greens, all of them are in the same place with RFK Kook.
I mean, at the end of the day, this is just another, you know, this is a scheme. This is them saying, hey, maybe if we find somebody with the Kennedy name, the Democrats will just automatically fall in line. And the truth is that this Robert Kennedy guy is, he's nuttier than a SHIT house rat, you know the deal. I mean, that's where he's at. He's absolute garbage, and this is all their plan. And the thing is it's so easily to see what they're trying to do. You know, it's not going to happen. Anybody that donates money to that PAC is absolutely just poorly educated and don't research anything. At the end of the day, it's not going to go. He's not going to go anywhere. Joe Biden is going to be the nomination for the Democratic Party. The unions are now falling in line right now with Joe Biden, and you know he's doing amazing things. I tell you, I you know, people can sit and argue and scream about politics, but this is going to go down as a historic presidency with him. I mean, in his first 4 years, I think that if we give him 8 years, he's going to reduce the deficit by at least $6 trillion. He's already at the 13 million jobs plus. You know, legislation that's lowering insulin prices across the country. I mean, I am absolutely just, I'm riding with Biden all the way to the end.
Look, I love the policies. I think you're right. And I think it's even bigger than how you've laid it out, because I think we're moving away from the neoliberal stuff that got us into a lot of trouble. We're reshoring some manufacturing. We're talking about, you know, domestic production for domestic consumption. You know, we're moving we're moving the chessboard around to bring things back, and I think that's important.
Yeah. It's to me. What I like is I like seeing the Democrat name go back to what it was really important for. You know, the jobs, the unions. You know, it's you know, that's what we need to get back to. There was a time. You know, I come from West Virginia. There was a time when West Virginia was a strong, proud Democrat state. And now, you know, stupidity has set in, and now it's completely the opposite. But, you know, when it was a strong, before garbage Democrats like Nick Rahal and them, who did nothing but use the Democrat name to stay in office and do nothing for the people, there was a time when the Democrat name meant work. It meant unions. It meant focusing on the working class. And I think that Joe Biden is the president that can get us back to that. Yeah. And I think that that's what he's doing.
I'm with you. Good stuff. I got to get your thoughts on RFK Jr. Last thing on this, Kook. But he said he believes Russia acted in good faith in Ukraine. Any thoughts on
How dare he? How dare he say that? First and foremost, he's got zero credibility when it comes to anything military, whether it's foreign or ours. You know, we begged, the world begged Vladimir Putin to please not invade a sovereign nation that did not want to fight. And that's a fact. He set his troops on the border, and on the day he launched an attack into Ukraine. And, you know, it's amazing because Russia is getting their butts handed to them. And I'm telling you, usually on my nightly lives, I give an update. You know, we're talking 222,000 dead Russian troops. You know, we can't even fathom what that feels like in the United States of America, you know, and somebody like him to try to say that Vladimir Putin was, you know, in his right to do so just shows how lost in the sauce this jackaloon really is.
No, I'm right there with you. I'm surprised that he's got as much support on the Democratic side, and I'm hoping that more, the more that comes out about him, the more people walk away, because I think it's really just the Kennedy name and that allure. But I got to get your thoughts on this. The big story for me today is Special Counsel Jack Smith cutting some deals with these fake electors who I guess are now going to testify about what happened on January 6th and some other things and all of the run-up to January 6th. This is a big deal, isn't it?
It's coming. It's coming. You know, I tell you, everybody about the classified documents and the stuff with Alvin Bragg. I mean, that stuff right there is that's just the starter pack. I'm telling you right now, the fake elector stuff is going to just, I mean, we're going to get to see everything about Jenny Thomas. That's going to bring her in there. I'm waiting for that indictment to come down because I believe she will be indicted. That's going to be great. I am excited to see the January 6th stuff start to come out. Because, you know, we've been watching these people get sentenced to prison. You know, I think just the other day, a guy got 12 and a half years. You know, I'm excited to see those people being held accountable, but I want to see the enablers.
Yep.
I want to see those who planned with the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, which is Michael Flynn, Stone, Bannon, those jackaloons. I want to see the people who gave the tours, Marge of Trainwreck Green. You know, they just got – Jack Smith is a genius. He's brilliant, and he knows what he's doing. And, you know, he's went and got two people that were fake electors to get limited immunity because nobody's going to get a pass on this stuff. They may get like 10 years of probation, but they're going to get something. But those people, let me tell you something. Right now, if you are any part of the fake electors or any part of January 6th, you are praying that you get a knock on the door and you open it and it's Jack Smith. Because right now there's only so many people that are going to get these sweet deals and not everybody's going to get them. And Jack Smith is the guy who's dangling them. And if he offers you one, you better jump at that chance because make no mistake about it. These people are going to go down and I am excited. I absolutely love Jack Smith. This guy is no joke. You know, here's the guy who has been in charge of making sure war criminals are brought to justice. And I'm telling you, man, I am so excited about what's coming. And like when we see Lindsey Graham screaming, you know, that we're not going to allow for another indictment. First and foremost, he don't get to make that decision. And once again, you know, he's just scared because he knows, you know, Lindsey Graham made a couple phone calls, too. I believe Lindsey Graham called Brad Raffensperger, too.
He absolutely did.
Come on, man, hook a brother up and make no mistake about it. I'm sure that's captured too in terms of a recording.
No, all of them.
I'm loving it.
All of them, Rich. I mean, they've all got to be starting to think about what my defense is going to be when this all unravels. Because look, these fake electors, this isn't just one state. This is Arizona. No. This is Michigan, Nevada, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania. This is a conspiracy in my view. So this is a much bigger thing than just, oh, we signed our names on something just in case. They thought this out. They knew what they were doing. And they have to be held accountable.
They set together a Hail Mary plan of basically stealing the victory from Joe Biden. They literally were in the works to try to steal the victory from Joe Biden and establish a dictatorship in this country with Donald Trump at the friggin' wheel. And I'm telling you, I mean, you know, these people, this is going to come out and it's going to be ugly. That's why Jim Jordan keeps trying to say, I want to make Jack Smith and Merrick Garland provide the judiciary committee with all the evidence that they have so far.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because they know. They want to know what they're in trouble for. They want to know what they're being looked at for. Because at the end of the day, these people aren't leaders. All they care about is themselves. They pad their pockets. They don't do anything. What legislation has Jim Jordan ever pushed? He's never pushed a single bill. He's been in freaking Congress for 14 years. He's never pushed and passed a single bill. And those jackaloons in his district still vote for him because why? Because they're brainwashed and they think that he's the way ahead. He's done nothing for these people. I hope they all go to prison. I hope that they all daggone have to fight naked in a shower.
That's a scene I don't want to see.
I do. I want to see Lindsey Graham slap fighting, getting his ass handed to him.
Ouch. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're here with Rich Ojeda. You can check out his nightly live broadcast, Ojeda Live, on Facebook and on YouTube. He's also the founder of the Turn Left Pack, turnleftpack.org, the website, if you want to take a look at that as well. Now, the thing is, if you're Rudy Giuliani, if you're Sidney Powell, if you're Jeffrey Clark, if you're my congressman, Scott, pardon me, Perry, you got to be sweating tonight.
They are. They're definitely sweating. I mean, look at this. I mean, Rudy Giuliani has basically come out and said that he can't afford to be sued right now because he don't have any money. I mean, these people have went all in for the biggest orange turd on the planet. And, now they're surprised that they're going to be in trouble, that they're losing everything. I mean, John Eastman is about to have his law license taken from him in a courtroom in Los Angeles. I mean, this is all, it amazes me how many people literally put in for something like this. I mean, I look at Donald Trump and I think to myself, my goodness gracious, there's nothing about him that speaks leadership.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is all about Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't care about nobody. And it's, I mean, the interview with Bret Baier was embarrassing. I mean, when Bret Baier explained to him how that woman that he pardoned that spent 23 years in prison under Donald Trump's law that he tried to push, she would be assassinated. And he's like, it was embarrassing. That interview should have showed everybody how just weak minded Donald Trump really is. The guy
he's not a leader. He's not a political thought leader. He has no policy chops. He was a TV star. People like the popularity. They like the character. And so my question then in all of this, because there's a lot of stuff here, especially if you came through 2020 believing what Trump said, believing that the election was stolen, believing all of the stuff that Rudy Giuliani was spouting in the Four Seasons parking lot, landscaping parking lot, or all of the sham hearings like you had here in Gettysburg that weren't under oath. If you bought all that stuff, that the election was stolen, that there was all of these improprieties and all of this stuff going on, and now you're looking at the fact that there really was a conspiracy in 2020. It was the people who were spewing that the other side was doing it. It was the people who were pointing their finger at someone else with the three fingers pointing back. It was them trying to steal an election. I think we lost Rich. But this is the thing that gets me. And this is where my mind gets into this place where, they're telling us, up is down and front is back and all of that. And the sad reality is the conspiracy here, the big conspiracy here is that they were doing all of the things that they're claiming Democrats were doing. And we got Rich back.
Yes.
I mean, Rich, this is the thing that gets me. All of the election was stolen, all of the accusations that Trump made, it's because they were doing stuff. They
yes,
were actively
yes.
trying to steal the election.
Yes, I was saying, I guess before I got cut off, that every time Donald Trump accuses somebody of something, he's really telling on himself.
Yeah.
And that's the way that is. And these people all came together. And, it amazes me how Donald Trump can even have the nerve to say he surrounds himself with the best people. I mean, Bret Baier lit him up and told him, Mike Pence is running against you. Nikki Haley's running against you. Pompeo says you're garbage and all that. I mean, everybody that he surrounded himself with is pretty much on the way out, have been indicted, are going to jail, have been sentenced. I mean, he don't surround himself with the best people. He surrounds himself with a bunch of bootlicking worms that think that they can make money off of Donald Trump. And that's exactly what they do. You know, I mean, Stephen Bannon should be in prison right now because Stephen Bannon stole from a daggone fund that was supporting Donald Trump's Build the Wall. And what's sad is that, to me, you would think if building the wall is the most important thing for Donald Trump and he catches Steve Bannon stealing millions of dollars from that fund, you would think that he would not pardon him. But that's how they are. Yeah. Snakes hang with snakes. And that's what they all are. They're a bunch of snakes.
So Eric Erickson, right-wing pundit mouthpiece, said that Donald Trump is already claiming he'll lose in 2024 and wants you to know because they stole it again. So they're already right now. And this is weird because, you know, Trump's brand is supposed to be he's this great winner. You know, I'm looking at this going, yeah, they're already setting up the next insurrection. So I think this has to be exposed now. It has to be exposed quickly, and it has to be done in a very public way with lots of people doing perp walks and a lot of people with silver bracelets and orange jumpsuits.
Well, Jack Smith is going to provide us with some perp walks, but make no mistake about it. You know, Donald Trump's already saying that it's going to be stolen because Donald Trump knows that he can't win. He may win the Republican nomination because there's just a bunch of jackaloons that are running, but he's not going to be able to do anything against Joe. Joe Biden will beat him by 14 million votes this time. But I'm going to tell you this. The next time some group gets together and thinks that they want to start some type of an insurrection again, I'm going to tell you, we had better put that stuff down fast. And I tell you right now, I would just as soon have our troops smoke these people.
Oh, well, there's an image. I still want to know the money behind it. I still want the people.
Here's the thing. You're right there. I mean, that's the thing. We need to get behind, you know, and find the people who are pulling the purse strings for these things. But in terms of another insurrection, we cannot allow them to get away with these things. What they did to our Capitol, if they ever do that again and we sit back and don't do anything and let them just get in their cars and go home, I mean, goodness gracious, we are basically letting them know that if you ever want to, you know, come to and attack the Capitol, I guess you can get away with it. You know, some of you guys will go down, but the rest of you might be okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to stop that garbage. We got to educate people.
I'm with you. And that's the goal right here. Lastly, changing topics real quick, I got to get your thoughts on, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the Twitter and the Instagrams, but any thoughts on a Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg cage match?
Well, you know, I tell you, I would love to see it. I think it's so stupid. You know, anytime you see those celebrity boxing and stuff like that, I mean, I understand raising money. But yeah, I wouldn't mind. But let me tell you something. Mark Zuckerberg, the only reason why Mark Zuckerberg is thumbs up on this is Mark Zuckerberg's actually pretty squared away when it comes to Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He's actually won tournaments with that. So that's why he's completely fine getting into a ring with Elon Musk. As far as I'm concerned, I think that both of them should get into a friggin' submarine and go fight down there next to the friggin' Titanic.
You stole my line. Throw them in the propane tank and send them down with the joystick. When the top story of the day is two nerds beating each other up, yeah, country's gone way off the rails.
Yeah, absolutely. It's embarrassing. And like I said, you know, you and me, we go on every night to try to explain to people, you know, what they need to be really paying attention to. And then we see the news being filled up with this garbage.
I hope they beat each other to where neither of them says another word. That's my thought.
I think it'll be a colossal slap fight. You know, it's not like they grew up in an environment where they had to, you know, go toe to toe with people. You know, we grew up in hollers where it is what it is, man. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just how it is.
Rich, I appreciate the time. As always, good stuff. Hope folks will take a look at the website, turnleftpack.org, and also check out the nightly Ojeda Live program. Rich, I appreciate the time.
Anytime, brother. Thanks, man.
Our good friend Rich Ojeda. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com, or give us a call, 1-866-416-RICK. Right back after this. Stick around.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1947. That was the day that many labor historians mark as the beginning of a long decline of the U.S. labor movement. The United States Congress passed the Taft-Hartley Act. The bill was named after Republican Senator Robert A. Taft from Ohio. The son of President William Howard Taft, the senator had been a staunch opponent of President Roosevelt's New Deal policies. He continued his anti-working class efforts with a new bill aimed to curb the power of unions. He found an ally in Representative Fred Hartley, a Republican congressman from New Jersey. After World War II, a wave of strikes washed over the nation. Most labor unions had agreed not to go on strike during the war. But frustrations over wages and working conditions mounted. In the years after the conflict ended, 5 million workers walked the picket line. One in four private sector workers was a union member. Labor was on the march. The congressional Republicans passed the Taft-Hartley Act in response. The bill ushered in limits on the right to strike. It also began the era of so-called right to work, allowing states to pass laws making it more difficult for unions to collect dues and represent workers. The new law also required union leaders to sign affidavits that they were not communists, bringing the Red Scare to the House of Labor. A massive rally at Madison Square Garden in New York City asked President Truman to veto the slave labor bill. President Truman did veto the bill, but Congress overrode his veto. Today, only 12% of workers are in unions. 26 states are so-called right-to-work states, to the great detriment of workers' living standards and their health and safety.
Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
Listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Let's quick go get to the phones. Got Mark in Wisconsin online, too. Mark, how are you doing today, buddy?
Doing great, and I'm so thrilled to hear that they're actually going to take these fake electors to task, because it's a clear violation of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. I recommend everybody out there order up a copy of the Federalist Papers. There's some good editions out there with good annotations to it, and it's clear and easy reading. You can read from there that founders actually intended, in spite of their many flaws, they intended the government to actually be something to promote the general welfare of the people. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that for the Congress to do something has to be enumerated in the Constitution. That they said that would be an impossible task to enumerate every possible thing that government could do for the good of the people.
Right.
But yet the Supreme Court assumed upon themselves the right to overturn the Constitution or to dictate what the Constitution says, and there's nothing in the Constitution that enumerates that power to the Supreme Court. So, I mean, again, I'm just heartened to hear that they're actually going to go after these fake electors, because I've been preaching that one for well over a year now, because I've actually read the Constitution. What the 14th Amendment says in Section 2 is that the people choose the electors for the President of the United States, not some half-witted idea that the Congress or the representatives can overturn the will of the people, because anyone who's promoting that idea is a violator of if they took an oath of office to the Constitution, they're violating their oath.
Yeah, no. I asked when the story first broke, why they weren't arrested the day that they put them in. I mean, if you or I broke into a post office or, you know, forged our name on any document, they'd come for us immediately. How is it that these Republicans who put their name on a forged fake document and tried to undo our system of government, they're still walking around? How is it that they got away with this for so long? That's what I want to know. But I do want them held accountable eventually. And some of them are singing. So maybe we're going to get what we need.
And the reason we have to go after them hammer and tongue is because the fact we haven't done that just emboldens them, because they think they're going to get away with it and they can scream about how oppressed they are. They have violated their oath to the Constitution, pure and simple.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you, Mark. I appreciate the call, buddy. Thanks so much.
Thanks, brother.
Look, at the end of the day, if you or I had done anything like this, we would have been locked up immediately. And I asked this question the day the story broke, when we found out that in my state of Pennsylvania, there were people who signed up, said, you know, yeah, there were those officially elected ones that you know, have the seal and went through all the whole process. But, you know, we're going to throw our name into this. And, you know, maybe the other ones will get lost or whatever. Now, in my state of Pennsylvania, they did you know, put a caveat at the bottom saying, well, you know, just in case.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic ABC Media.